if you start a company, you have to be obsessed with it, because that obsession needs to get you through the hard times and the stressful times, but it also like propels you forward through the exciting times. And you have to love it, because it is not glamorous. It is not sexy. It is just relentless.
What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Andrea Ippolito. She's the founder of Simply Fed, and she is just an incredibly smart and talented person. She started a business back in 2012, actually, which got acquired in 2016, and now she's starting another. So Simply Fed is providing support and resources for baby feeding and breastfeeding. Andrea has a master's of engineering from both Cornell and MIT, and she had her third kid like 2 weeks before doing the episode. So absolute legend. What a beast. In her free time, she enjoys watching Bravo shows like The Real Housewives. In her words, that's the only time she diverges from being a super nerd. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode of the Play Hard Podcast. Work hard,
play hard. Work hard, 2 weeks ago. I'm too, work
hard, so, you're doing podcasts? Work hard, wow, what a legend.
I don't know about that. We're crazy. So I do apologize. I am on the couch with my feet up, and my kiddo is proof. Is right there. So
I'm an adorable child.
I'll let you know if she needs to. Is it okay if we pause for a second while I'm situated? Okay, cool.
Yeah, 100%. I'll try to let me know whatever makes you comfortable, whatever you need. Just let me know, and I'll accommodate. I'll do what I can.
You are amazing. I appreciate you.
And is this your first kid, second kid,
third kid? So
third kid. Okay, mama of three, boys, girls,
all girls, three girls,
all girls.
Yeah,
what a household.
The first one and the third one are named after astronauts, and the second one is named after Louise May Alcott. So they're little badasses on their own.
Yeah.
Way.
And I was checking out your profile. They got some big shoes to fill. You've managed quite a lot and have done some pretty cool things.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for that. No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to be having this conversation. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. I'm a bit on the young side. I'm not a parent, but my mom was a mom of three boys. So she had the opposite situation. And to her, she said every day it was like a frat house in our growing up. So I'm sure it'll be a bit different.
That sounds exactly right. Oh my gosh. Well, where do you fall in the lineup?
I am the oldest. Yeah, I kept them in line, actually, the eldest.
I like it. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Well, your mom's a rock star.
Yeah, yeah, she really is. And we were all about two grades apart, so very similar in age. It was really nice because you kind of have built-in best friends. Like, I could, I'd say, give a lot of credit to my mom. My brothers, like, my family's very close, but I'm very close with my brothers. And I think a lot of it was a lot of the fights we had when we were younger and a lot of the like difficult moments. I remember when I left for college and came back, I really had a newfound appreciation for them and family. And that's really, it's like you have your best friends at home with you.
I love that. That's so special. Well, I hope my girls are the same.
Andrea Ippolito.
Yes.
You're the founder of Simply Fed, which is a telehealth platform. From what I saw, democratizing access to baby feeding and breastfeeding services. Am I getting that right?
Yes, correct.
So what exactly does that entail? I don't breastfeed, so I wouldn't know. What exactly are you doing?
Yeah, so Simply Fed is the maternal health leader in lactation support. And the way we deliver our services is via telehealth. So we start working with families during pregnancy. We provide virtual prenatal breastfeeding and baby feeding support, no matter how folks decide to feed, whether that's breastfeeding, formula feeding, pumping. We meet with them prenatally, come up with a plan that works for them. We can do multiple appointments prenatally so they feel ready and prepared. And then after baby's born, we provide ongoing support surrounding breastfeeding and baby feeding. And that can be around latching, positioning, combo feeding. It can be around dealing with pain, such as nipple pain, oversupply, undersupply, pumping, how to use a pump, getting sized properly for a pump, and transitioning back to work or transition to complementary foods. And we like to think of baby feeding as it's a, sadly, for better or for worse, it's a no days off, no nights off activity.
Yeah.
and it's pretty all-encompassing. And so by having this ongoing relationship with parents via our telehealth pathway that's covered by health plans at no cost to families, which is actually the requirement of the federal law, we can actually move the needle on other maternal health outcomes as well.
Interesting. So what was like the inception of this company? What was the original, you know, problem that sparked your idea? What was like the first iteration and how did you get to where you are now?
Yeah. So this company was founded based on lived experience. So, you know, my background is I have a lot of experience working in health systems, worked at the Department of Veterans Affairs. This is my second company that I've co-founded.
I saw you had one acquired by Aetna.
Athena Health, technically.
Athena Health. Okay. Athena. Yeah. But that's awesome. You have a ton of experience in this space.
Yeah. And so, you know, background in entrepreneurship, background in healthcare systems. My research in grad school was in telehealth. Fast forward, had my first daughter, who's now 5, and saw how hard baby feeding was. I saw that, you know, 85% of women start off breastfeeding. Most are not reaching medical recommendations put out by American College of Obstetricians, American Academy of Pediatrics. Only 25%, 1 in 4, are reaching medical recommendations. And by the way, lots of societal reasons for that. Lack of paid parental leave, not wanting to breastfeed. There's a million reasons why people don't reach that goal. But the fact is that 60% of those 85% want to breastfeed for longer, but cite lack of access to support. And under federal law, under the Affordable Care Act, commercial health plans and Medicaid expansion plans are required to cover these services at no cost for free for families. But the vast majority of families aren't accessing these services, which are so deeply connected to your baby health. But the part that we think gets ignored is so deeply connected to mom's health. And when I had my first daughter, I saw how hard baby feeding was and saw how much judgment there was, especially if you had to move to formula. And no matter how you feed your baby, we should support parents and their goals. Formula is super health. It's approved and authorized by the FDA to be have all the nutrients that your baby needs to grow and thrive. And I just found the whole experience and pathway surrounding baby feeding very fractured, not covered by insurance, even though it's supposed to be, and there's just a lack of access to support and full of judgment. So that's what really motivated me to found Simply Fed to redesign what this care experience looks like, covered by health plan, which is you're right under federal law.
And so you mentioned a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to like formulate my thoughts real quick. The first one that comes to mind is the judgment around breastfeeding. I imagine it's kind of like a no-win game where some people judge you for breastfeeding and not going on formula, or some people judge you for using formula. Maybe it's the time of when you switch. And I'm sure there's, you know, tons of research pointing in direction, in all which directions. How do you like kind of navigate that? It seems very difficult for, especially like, you know, a new mom who maybe this isn't their third child. It's their first one and they've never gone through something like that before.
You are so right on with that. So that's the sad thing about all this. There's so much judgment out there, no matter how you feed. So let's like talk through that. So parents that are combo feeding or using formula fully feel like they're getting judged by society. Oh, you should really be breastfeeding and you're not doing what's best for your baby, blah, 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 blah. And then some BS study cited, which is poorly designed and is just clickbait and makes mom and mom's mental health just plummet. And the reality is that formula is so great. It is authorized by the FDA to have all the nutrients your baby needs. Your baby will thrive and be super successful. Like there's, again, a lot of BS stuff out there about babies that breastfeed are smarter. It's all not correct and not scientifically validated. On the other side, and again, it's not a versus. We like to say it's not breastfeeding versus formula, however you feed your baby. And with breastfeeding, though, there's also judgment. And maybe that is, you know, you're in a park and you're breastfeeding in public, which also is your right under federal law. And people are like, ew, gross. And it's like, well, first off, like, you're not ashamed to see boobs, like, on, you know, in Playboy. And I don't know if Maxim is still around. That was, like, magazine growing up, right? Like, you're not like sad to see boobs and like social media and all and pop culture. So like, come on, like keep moving. There's also judgment around.
I got a baby to feed here.
Yeah. Yo, like I'm feeding my kiddo. What are you doing? Like what are you
staring.
Collective? I'm a full production shop here. vertically integrated, right? What are you up to? But also there's judgment surrounding length of breastfeeding, right? People that breastfeed after a year, they face judgment. And so we also know Black women disproportionately are offered formula over breastfeeding. So there's just tons of racism as well. Like, so there's just sadly a ton of judgment, a ton of preconditioned activities in society. And the thing is that parents are just trying to make it through and do the best thing for their kid, whatever that looks like based on what their goals are.
Yeah. Parents are just, you know, for the most part, trying to be the best parent they can.
Exactly. And feeding shouldn't be controversial, but it really is. It's the most insane thing to me. And that's why we're selling it Simply Fed.
No, that's a beautiful story. That's awesome. And one thing, so I noticed you have a quite technical background. You've done a lot of research. How do you go about, like, how would you give tips to someone who's trying to look into research themselves and trying to find, you know, the most accurate, the most valid? How do you go about validating research that you find?
Oh, for surrounding, like, what evidence is out there? So,
yeah.
So one of the things that very much frustrates me as an engineer, and I should say I'm the daughter of two engineers, so it was how I was raised, for better or for worse, is I get very frustrated when I see predatory marketing out there. And personally, I think they're the worst predatory marketing is targeting new parents. And it looks like things like on formula, and again, I'm a formula, like, fan. Like I wave the formula flag. I'm down. But every formula is like closest to breast milk. And it's like, you know what? Like that's predatory, right? It's because it's you can just say things like that. And again, parents are just going to glom onto that and pay more for something, even though there's probably not that much evidence surrounding that. One of the other things that frustrates me is that companies like pay to get on all these like top three lists or top five top five like pumps or top five strollers. And a lot of that is just people paying to play to be on those lists. And I think that's super predatory. And so a couple ways that you can work through that noise. One is asking like friends and family what services and support they use that was actually helpful. Because that organic word of mouth, I like to say word of mom, and I'm not the first person to say that, is very helpful. Now, that's not rigorously scientifically based. But if you did want to dive into the literature, that's another great way. So, for example, another predatory product out there for new parents is lactation cookies, I'm getting, as a 2-week postpartum parent right now, I'm just getting inundated with ads for lactation cookies, lactation latte. I mean, it is unbelievable.
I've never heard of these things.
Yeah. And it's all BS. And it's, when you look at the medical and scientific literature, there is very little validated, refereed, peer-reviewed information that says like these, what are called galactalogs, lactation cookies, help increase your supply. What does help supply is getting support, getting clinical support. And that's what we do as Simply Fed. So obviously I'm very biased, but that's what the literature shows, is the way you actually increase your supply is not via these BS lactation cookies that are overpriced and have no evidence behind them, but actually getting clinical professional support. By the way, that's covered by health plans at no cost to you, which is required under federal law. And so that's a great example of, if you did dive into the literature, that's what you would see. And in the absence of that, you talk to a medical or clinical professional such as Simply Fed's lactation consultant that can help you wade through the muck of the super predatory BS that's out there.
So what I'm hearing is, to validate research, you talk to professionals, you try and my kind of radar for what would it be, like the predatory advertisements, is like, how emotional am I feeling about this right now? Like, I imagine again, not a mother. I don't lactate. But I imagine like seeing lactation cookies and having this product that's saying, you know, buy this, eat me, and we'll help you be healthier for your kids. I imagine that would be an emotional moment where you're like, yeah, I want the best for my kids. Like, I'm going to want this cookie. I'm going to buy this. Like, that kind of predatory marketing. It's like, if it's causing you to kind of sidestep rationale, very difficult to do in the moment, but like, kind of take a second to just pause and look at that. So that's like another thing where you can kind of like start validating is like, how emotional is this making me versus like what's backing this saying? And then another thing is like when you're actually looking into the research itself, seeing like, is it coming from a source, you know, that they necessarily don't have skin in the game? Like, what kind of questions are they asking? Are they giving you their assumptions, their biases, things like that? Versus, is this like research from the company that, you know, makes the cookies? Because they're probably just going to look for the stuff that answers their questions.
For sure. Like, there was this obnoxious study that came out in the scientific literature recently that said breastfeeding is tied to people that if you breastfeed, you will have babies with a higher IQ. And in this study, they did not control for parents' education levels or just in general parents' professions and these types of things. And so when you look at something like a correlation, it's like, oh, wow, babies that are breastfed have higher IQs. Well, when you actually control for parents' income levels or parents' education or parents' professions, then actually that goes away entirely. But
yeah.
CNN took the
next. That's a pretty wild claim.
It's so wild, and correlation does not equal correlation, right?
Yeah.
101 stuff. But CNN, because they're looking for clickbait, and there's no better clickbait than like a newly postpartum mom who is like, as I can speak from personal experience right now, overtired and just like wants what's best for their kiddo. You've just like reprinted this kid after 9 months and just want to do everything right because that's what your instincts are telling you and what you want.
Even after 3, it's the same thing?
Same thing. Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe a little less, but not a lot. Yeah, CNN knows this, and they have this obnoxious headline, and, you know, boo them, right? And so this is where I think we all need to provide this support that is validated to actually protect mom mental health, which we know is plummeting right now in the news.
No, that's really fascinating. And something that comes to my mind is, if I were to see this stat, I would be like, that's pretty weird. I wonder how they got that. But then my next thought, like, I guess it's looking down into the layers. I would have seen some sort of research or some sort of thing. And like, I probably wouldn't have gone in depth to read the research or see the controls. Like, to think one layer less, it's like, okay, yes, this stat comes from, you know, some sort of backed research, but like, how scientific was this done? I wouldn't have gone deep enough to think like, oh, how is like, what are the controls? Like, how are we making sure that the experiment is done in a way that it's like, what are the words I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is it's absurd to not take in account the parents raising these kids and only saying because you fed your child this way, they will be smarter or not. Like that, to take the nature out of it, to take that out of the whole thing is kind of, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of frustrating me in a sense.
It's so insane. It's incredibly frustrating. And this is classic, you know, woman's health, where they have not actually dedicated enough research, by the way, into women's health issues. We know this. From speaking of the literature, NSF recently did a study and showed that disproportionately research has invested in men's health, not women's health. I was just on the phone and with a Simply Fed appointment, and I had anemia with my second kiddo, and our provider was saying that all the anemia levels were developed with men's body masses and developed – on based on research with men only, which is, you know, insane because obviously physiologically, anatomically, we are very different, men and women. And so we don't have strong guideposts in women's health more broadly. And this is just sadly where we're at in society and why we just need so much more basic research and clinical research being done on women's health.
Why do you think that is? Is it my guess is that I guess the like the full clinical research and tests haven't been done specifically for women. And the reason I say that is it also shows up in minorities. So myself being Hispanic, it's like a lot of the textbooks, you know, how doctors use to gauge people or like to find certain things have primarily been done on white people. So it's a bit different. The one that I can think of, someone was telling me, is that when it comes to assessing skin, so like if there's a problem going on with your skin, something, the color pigmentation would look differently from people of different ethnicities. And it's like, how can you judge, you know, this one certain skin problem on someone who's much darker than if they were white, which is what the textbook was made of. But is it similar to that?
Yeah. I mean, and just to give an example of that and breastfeeding and baby feeding, the way that people of color's mastitis, which is inflammation of the breast, and the way that presents is very different. Mm. But when you look at medical and clinical journals of things to look out for with mastitis, it is very biased towards white skin. And nipple sizing, as another example, very biased towards to white nipples. And so that those are just like two examples of where we see that play out. So I think there's a few factors at play of how we got here. One is just there's just a lack of investment in women's health because of generational sexism. So I think that is here to stay, and discounting women's pain and gaslighting of women and minorities' health issues and concerns, and just it's never been supported and invested in. Secondly, I also think there was a pendulum swing where, you know, decades ago there was flumitamide. I always say that wrong, by the way, where they were giving that to pregnant women to deal with nausea, and essentially it resulted in, unfortunately, babies that had tons of birth defects. So what happened is the pendulum then swung to the other side where, like, can't test anything on pregnant women. And that's also bullshit because, by the way, especially with electronic medical records, we can do data mining. We can do these retroactive studies. There's tons of different ways that you can think about how we do clinical studies with pregnant women and people opting in. And we saw that, right, with the COVID-19 vaccine, is people electing to get the vaccine and signing into these and opting into consenting to these clinical registries. So there are ways to do it. And I think that the pendulum swung, and this is why we, when you're pregnant, you can't take any drugs like to help deal with any pain or anything like that. And they don't have strong evidence and recommendations on all sorts of different things. And the point that I always like to make is that, you know, we as women are controlling humanity, right? Like, we are leading economists like Geithner and Paulson are saying one of the biggest risks to American society right now is our declining birth rate. Well, it's actually pretty simple. Like, actually support women and support social infrastructure to support women having babies, such as paid parental leave, universal child care support, invest in research surrounding women's health issues, especially in maternal health, and actually reimburse care and women's health care at appropriate rates so that we can prevent these things and maternal mortality crisis, which we know impacts people of color disproportionately 3 to 2x more than white women. And so let's actually support, with societal infrastructure, women having babies. And I think we as women need to be a little bit stronger because we control the keys to the kingdom. Like, you should be respecting us. You should be investing in us. Like, if you want a thriving economy, we know that companies led by women are more profitable. They do better. We know that startups led by women exit faster, are more profitable as well. We know that startups or companies and organizations led by women are more innovative. So I think we need to stop thinking of all of supporting women as philanthropy. It's just damn good economic sense. And so I think we need to start pulling rank and start pulling that card, because we as women are making 70 to 80% of all economic decisions, 70 to 80% of all healthcare decisions. So stop ignoring us, because as a society, we cannot be successful economically.
Yeah. It's also just being a good person, you know?
But that argument obviously isn't working. So let's make it economic.
Well, in the lifetime of history, I don't think that argument really works most times. But it's something that we can strive to be virtuous and do.
100%.
At least that's what I try. Okay. Now to talk. So we've talked a bit about your company and what you're doing. What about like your own health? And this is really interesting because you've been in health and your company's about women's health. What about your own health? Like what is your relationship with your health?
Yeah, so this was the whole inspiration for founding Simply Fed, is that, you know, I saw this crazy huge connection of baby feeding to my own health. And yet baby feeding was so disconnected from healthcare. It drove me bonkers. And I live, by the way, in Ithaca, New York, which has the highest like breastfeeding rates in all of New York State. We have incredible resources here and infrastructure. I have worked in healthcare. I know how to navigate the healthcare system. I'm a huge advocate for myself. And yet if I was feeling this way, never mind someone that didn't know how to navigate healthcare or English was a second language, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I saw this crazy huge connection of baby feeding and breastfeeding, whether that was breastfeeding or formula feeding or pumping, to my own health, both physical and mental. And, you know, I like to say baby feeding is a no days off, no nights off activity. Like you can't step away from it. And especially when you're breastfeeding, because if you're not taking care of yourself, then you're going to put yourself in a disadvantage. And I just could not believe how disconnected baby was from the healthcare system. And then I learned, you know, that health plans are required to cover the support, and the most weren't in compliance with this. So I would say that I've been very lucky to be, I'm a biomedical engineer. I'm married to a physician. I live in an area that has great access to wonderful healthcare.
It sounds like you're in it. You're pretty much the perfect primed for this. And if you were feeling that way, wow.
Totally. And so I think we need to prioritize our health. And I think we all need to prioritize women's health and maternal health, because obviously we're not right now. And that's just leading to some pretty poor outcomes as a society.
Yeah, I health in the past, I'd say since this year, has become a really big priority for me. What are some of the things you do to prioritize your health?
So first off, things I do to prioritize my health are, one, I'm an advocate for myself. And I think that is easier said than done. I am a white woman who has access to resources in this very resource-rich environment and community that I live in upstate New York. I have strong connections to the healthcare system here. So I think it's really unfair of me to say that, because I work in healthcare and I know how to advocate for myself, and I don't take no for an answer. And an example of that was my anemia last time. It is confusing postpartum as an example, because you're always tired postpartum. And one of the like symptoms of anemia is that you're like fatigued and overtired, which actually looks very similar to being a postpartum woman. But I knew that it felt different. And so making sure to advocate for myself. Secondly, I will say I probably don't prioritize my health enough. I don't, even before having a kid, I wasn't sleeping well. I don't eat particularly healthy. And I definitely have don't exercise as much. So I think that I actually have a long way to go. But those are three things. You are what you eat. And I think I need to do a better job of prioritizing that and making time for that. But the thing I can say with confidence that I do is I do my research and I make sure I advocate for myself, which I think is one part of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, another really important part is that you know what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. Like you're very aware of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I did notice, just like from having a bunch of conversations with my mom growing up and even now is that sometimes like she cared so much as a mother that she would put our needs in front of her own. And now like we have a lot of discussions now of like, how do you kind of rewire that, or how do you kind of put yourself first while also taking care of this, you know, other human being? And the same goes for dads. I noticed a lot of what my dad did was for the family. Like a lot of what he was doing was for my brothers and I to have, you know, for him, it was a better childhood than he did. And I would say he knocked that one out of the park for sure. shout out to my dad. But yeah, I again, like I'm not a parent, so I can't, my mom tells me all the time, like you won't even begin to understand what it's like until you actually have kids for your own. But it's like everything else in the world just kind of melts away. And like, all you want is the best out of them. And sometimes that does come at the expense of yourself.
Totally. When I used to work at Department of Veterans Affairs, the secretary of the VA, his name is Bob McDonald, used to have this great quote of, we have no hope of improving the veteran experience unless we improve the employee experience. And I would apply the same thing. We have no hope of supporting our children unless we help support parents, whether that's the mom or the dad. And you have to prioritize yourself, because if you're not happy and healthy, then you have no hope. And actually, one of our providers said that to me at my first prenatal visit with SimpliFed about baby feeding, right? If I'm not happy, if I'm stressed, the baby's going to pick that up. And if the baby's stressed as well, then you're not going to have a very successful baby feeding journey, no matter what that looks like, because everyone is worked up and activated. And so it truly goes back to really, how do you support parents?
Yeah, it's like if you're constantly running on fumes, it's going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to bring your 100% for someone else. So it's like taking care of yourself is, in a way, going to lead to taking care of others. Because if you can do it, then you can kind of not only serve as a good example, but then like bring your best version to someone else.
Totally. That's exactly it.
What about any habits? Do you have any habits or routine? I imagine that gets thrown around out the window with a kid crying all the time. But
yeah, it's funny. Once you have a kid, it's them. It's their schedule. And so, depending, now that you have a newborn especially, but let's say pre-newborn, just because that's probably a more accurate schedule of what it looks like. But yeah, kids wake up between 5:30 and 7, depending on the day, and then you're on their clock. And as much as you can try to re-engineer the clock to meet your schedule, that's not often how it works. And good on the parents that have been able to navigate that, but we are certainly not one of them. But yeah, then you get them dressed, you feed them, you get them on their way, drop them off at daycare. And that brings us to 8:15. I try to start my day, do phone calls in the car as much as possible to be efficient. And then, you know, I'm working. And then we have to pick them up by 6, which actually we're really lucky that the daycare's open. And then you're on their clock again from 6 to 8.
Yeah.
And then bedtime routines take a couple hours, and then I, you know, log back in around 10 p.m. and doing a couple hours more of work, and then here we go again. And I tend to wake up actually before my kids wake up, do more emails. Obviously, that schedule is thrown out the window now with the newborn, but you're on their clock. But those are my rituals or habits. I have no hobbies. My kids are my hobby. And that's kind of where I'm at.
How are you doing that, first of all? But yeah, it's you're running this company, you're running this whole show, doing all that. That's really impressive.
Well, I'm very lucky. I have lots of support, right? Our kids are in great childcare. We have resources to have them in great childcare.
Yeah.
We have great grandparents that support. And I'm lucky that our company's virtual, so it's flexible in the sense that I can, you know, work from home, and we work really, really hard, and it's very stressful. And so we're definitely not, you know, kicking our feet up here. But I'm very, very lucky and have access to resources. And I wish others had access to the same resources that I have. And this is why we need more societal infrastructure in place.
Yeah. And what were some of the hobbies and things that you did for fun before all of this? Like, what? How would you kick your feet up? Just do nothing.
Yeah, so I was not a great runner, but I would run most days or exercise some days. I would definitely prioritize friends more and do like extracurricular community activities, such as be involved with different organizations that professionally allowed me to network. So I would say those were all the things that kind of went out the window once I had kids. And I could still prioritize those. And that comes to self-care, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just, it almost adds more stress, the idea of like trying to make time for those things.
I get that. Yeah. And it's kind of like they're not gone forever. Yeah. Just for the time being.
Seasons of life.
You got a human that can't take care of themselves like without you, you know?
Totally. Exactly. That's so right on.
So it also seems like have you always been very career driven or like focused on what you want to do? Because it feels like even the stuff you do for fun would be like, you know, fun things, extracurriculars, but it would also involve networking and things like that. And I noticed that's actually a trait I've seen with a lot of entrepreneurs, is like sometimes their hobbies would be in some way, shape or form leading back into the business. So has that just always been something that's a part of you?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my form of fun, right? I wouldn't be doing this. Speaking of no days off, it's a no days off activity, you know, literally keeps me up at night, both baby feeding and the company. And you have to love it. You have to be passionate about it. I still teach a little bit as well. And I say to students, like, if you start a company, you have to be obsessed with it, because that obsession needs to get you through the hard times and the stressful times, but it also like propels you forward through the exciting times. And you have to love it, because it is not glamorous. It is not sexy. It is just relentless and brutal and requires a ton of grit and, you know, failing along the way. And so you have to love it. And so, the hobbies, quote unquote, that I had, such as extracurriculars, I mean, I was fascinated and excited about maternal health, and that's what was driving a lot of my activities and biomedical engineering, these types of things. So no doubt they're tied.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's sweet. All right. Yeah. With that, it's time for the closing questions, which is just the final questions to get to know you before wrapping up. These are a lot more simple, but are you ready?
Ready.
All right. What kind of music do you listen to?
So I listen to everything from pop. I'm going through a big Taylor Swift phase right now, to country pop, to I love me some like 90s music. Just in general, I'm having that revitalization right now, going back to my...
Are you going like 90s charts, like the pop charts, or are there any specific pockets of 90s?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say Nickelback, but like that era of music, I will say, is like having a resurgence in my Spotify playlist right now.
Yeah. Two questions. Would you do this? And two, is there science to back it? But would you listen to music? Like, would you play music for your kids when you were pregnant?
I didn't, but I do know people that do that. And it is a thing for some people.
It is a thing.
Yes.
Interesting.
But I did not do that. I was not that organized.
I don't know if my mom would do that specifically while she was pregnant, but I know when we were babies or really young, she would play a lot of classical music.
Yeah.
I know that to like stimulate the brain. And I never really got it, but like, now, sometimes when I do work, very recently, I'm not a huge jazz head, but I would just throw some on, because it is, in a way, like stimulating to where it gets my brain in a place where like I want to think and do this work and focus. But it's not like, you know, white noise or background noise that you just find on YouTube. So I kind of see it for me now today. So I'd imagine it's same with kids.
Yeah. And this is not dealing with kids, but in hospitals, like I know in ERs, there is a hospital in Boston that would play classical music in the ER, because there is some research that it does help calm them and de-stress, and music therapy is a thing.
Yeah. What kind of movies or TVs or podcasts do you listen to or watch? Would you recommend?
So this is where I will say I depart from being like a super nerd, and I love Bravo. I mean, I just look to Bravo to turn off. And sometimes people are like, really? Like, you're not like watching documentaries? I'm like, no. I'm looking to turn off. That being said, with podcasts, I do like to listen to healthcare related podcasts, startup podcasts, parent related podcasts. I'm super into. And so I think that's where I do lean into more like educational, professional development than entertainment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Bravo, I'm checking it out. So this is like the reality TV show streaming site, like the Real Housewives and things like that.
Real Housewives. All
Yeah, I would have never guessed it. I would have never guessed.
Yeah, it's yeah, but it's how I get.
You need it. You need it. Yeah. Totally. What about books? What kind of books are you reading?
So this is also something embarrassing. I don't read that many books, which I know that's embarrassing to say. But again, that's just one of those things that I've sadly had to deprioritize. It's having a startup, having kids. And
sense.
I do read some books every now and then when I see one that's like related to a business problem I'm facing. I will say I usually don't finish the book, but I'll read like the first few chapters. And I'm like, I feel like I have the gist of this now.
Yeah. No, that's... I was trying that for a while, and I've like heard a lot of people talk about how, and I am a big believer that the main books really give you like one main idea, one like main thing about it. And the rest of the book is kind of like examples going over.
Yes. No.
In other words, that one main thing. That being said, I've tried being like where I'm going to just read a couple pages or like read a little bit of the book, switch around books. And I just prefer reading the book all the way through because I like the examples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, and it's fun, like banter and talk. Yeah, I love it. I'm with you.
Yeah. Last question. Where can people find you and your company?
So you can learn more about SimplyFed at simplyfed.com, SimpliFed.com. You can find us on Instagram at SimplyFedBaby. You can find us on LinkedIn when you look up SimplyFed there as well. And, you know, come follow me on Twitter at Andrea K. Ippolito. And, you know, we'd just be honored if folks shared information about SimplyFed with their family and friends, because we provide insurance covered at no cost to you, access to breastfeeding and baby feeding support covered by health plans. So it's your friends and family's right under federal law to get access to these services.
Awesome. I'll throw all of that in the show notes below so people have a place where they can reach you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You've taught me a lot. I know very, very, very close to nothing about parenting or being a mother, and I feel like I've learned so much from you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you.